Welcome to Reading the Classics on KRBD Ketchikan.
Raggedy Ann and Andy, A Read Aloud Treasury by Johnny Gruelle. The first story is How Raggedy Ann and Andy Came to Marcella's House. Marcella liked to play up in the attic at Grandma's quaint old house way out in the country, for there were so many old forgotten things to find up there. One day, when Marcella was up in the attic and had played with the old spinning wheel until she had grown tired of it, she curled up on an old horsehair sofa to rest. "I wonder what is in that barrel back in the corner," she thought, as she jumped from the sofa and climbed over two dusty trunks to the barrel standing back underneath the eaves. It was quite dark back there, so when Marcella had pulled a large bundle of things from the barrel, she took them over to the window where she could see better. There was a funny little bonnet with long white ribbons. Marcella put it on. In an old bag, she found a number of old photographs of odd-looking men and women in old-fashioned clothes. And there was one picture of a very pretty little girl with long curls tied tightly back from her forehead and wearing a long dress and white pantaloons that reached to her shoe tops. Then out of the heap, she pulled an old rag doll with only one shoe button eye, a painted nose, and a smiling mouth. Her dress was of a soft material, blue, with pretty little flowers and dots all over it. Forgetting everything else in the happiness of her find, Marcella snatched up the rag doll and ran downstairs to show it to Grandma. "Well, well, well, where did you find it?" Grandma cried. "It's old Raggedy Ann." She hugged the doll to her chest. "I had forgotten her." "She has been in the attic for 50 years, I guess," said Grandma. "Well, well, dear old Raggedy Ann, I will sew another button on her right away." Grandma went to the sewing machine drawer and took out her needle and thread. Marcella watched the sewing while Grandma explained how she had played with Raggedy Ann when she was a little girl. "Now," Grandma said when she was finished, "Raggedy Ann, you have two fine shoe button eyes, and with them you can see the changes that have taken place in the world while you have been shut up so long in the attic. For Raggedy Ann, you have a new playmate and mistress now, and I hope you both will have as much happiness together as you and I used to have." Then Grandma gave Raggedy Ann to Marcella, saying very seriously, "Marcella, let me introduce my very dear friend, Raggedy Ann. Raggedy, this is my granddaughter, Marcella." And Grandma gave the doll a twitch with her fingers in such a way that the rag doll nodded her head to Marcella. "Oh, Grandma, thank you ever and ever so much," Marcella cried as she gave Grandma a hug and a kiss. "Raggedy Ann and I will have loads of fun." And this is how Raggedy Ann joined the doll family at Marcella's house. Soon Raggedy Ann was a much beloved member of the doll family, which included the French doll, poor Susan, who had fallen and cracked her head, Henny, the Dutch doll, Uncle Clem, the tin soldier, the jumping jack, and more. Then one day, Daddy took Raggedy Ann down to his office and propped her up against some books upon his desk. He wanted to see her cheery smile all day, for as you must surely know, smiles and happiness are truly catching. Daddy wished to catch a whole lot of Raggedy Ann's cheeriness and happiness, and to put it all down on paper so that those who did not have Raggedy Ann dolls might see just how happy and smiling a rag doll can be. So Raggedy Ann stayed in Daddy's studio for 3 or 4 days. She was missed very, very much at home, and Marcella really longed for her, but she knew that Daddy was borrowing some of Raggedy Ann's sunshine, so she did not complain. Raggedy Ann did not complain either, for no one, not even a rag doll, ever complains if they have such happiness about them. One evening, just as Daddy was finishing his day's work, a messenger boy came with a package, a nice, soft, lumpy package. Daddy opened the nice, soft, lumpy package and found a letter. Grandma had told Daddy, long before this, that at the time Raggedy Ann was made, a neighbor lady had made a boy doll, Raggedy Andy, for her little girl, who always played with Grandma. And when Grandma told Daddy this, she wondered whatever had become of her little playmate and the boy doll, Raggedy Andy. After reading the letter, Daddy opened the other package, which had been inside the nice, soft, lumpy package, and found Raggedy Andy. Raggedy Andy's soft, floppy arms were folded up in front of him, and his long legs were folded over his arms, and they were held this way by a rubber band. Raggedy Andy must have wondered why he was being done up for this way, but it could not have caused him any worry, for in between, where his feet came over his face, Daddy saw his cheery smile. After slipping off the rubber band, Daddy smoothed out the wrinkles in Raggedy Andy's arms and legs. Then Daddy propped Raggedy Ann and Raggedy Andy up against the books on his desk so that they sat facing each other, Raggedy Ann's shoe button eyes looking straight into the shoe button eyes of Raggedy Andy. They could not speak, not right out before a real person, so they just sat there and smiled at each other. Daddy could not help reaching out his hands and feeling their throats. Yes, there was a lump in Raggedy Ann's throat, and there was a lump in Raggedy Andy's throat. A cotton lump, to be sure, but a lump nevertheless. So Raggedy Ann and Raggedy Andy, that is why you cannot talk, is it? Asked Daddy. I will go and let you have your visit to yourselves, although it is good to sit and share your happiness by watching you. Daddy then took the rubber band and placed it around Raggedy Ann's right hand and around Raggedy Andy's right hand, so that when he had fixed it properly, they sat and held each other's hands. Daddy knew they wished to tell each other all the wonderful things that had happened to them since they had parted more than 50 years before. So locking his studio door, Daddy left the two old rag dolls looking into each other's eyes. The next morning, when Daddy unlocked his door and looked at his desk, he saw that Raggedy Andy had fallen over so that he lay with his head in the bend of Raggedy Ann's arm. The Nursery Dance. When Raggedy Ann was first brought to the nursery, he was very quiet. Raggedy Andy did not speak all day, but he smiled pleasantly at all the other dolls. There was Raggedy Ann, the French doll, Henny, the little Dutch doll, Uncle Clem, and a few others. Some of the dolls were without arms and legs. One had a cracked head. She was a very nice doll, though, and the others all liked her very much. All of them had cried the night Susan, that was her name, fell off the toy box and cracked her china head. Even though Raggedy Andy did not speak all day, there was really nothing strange about this fact. None of the other dolls spoke all day either. Marcella had played in the nursery all day, and of course they did not speak in front of her. Marcella thought they did, though, and often had them saying things that they really were not even thinking. For instance, when Marcella served water with sugar in it and a little oyster cracker for tea, Raggedy Andy was thinking of Raggedy Ann, and the French doll was thinking of the one time when Fido was lost. Marcella took the French doll's hand, pressed a cup of tea to Raggedy Andy, and said, "Mr. Raggedy Andy, will you have another cup of tea?" As if the French doll were talking. And then Marcella answered for Raggedy Andy, "Oh, yes, thank you. It is so delicious." Neither the French doll nor Raggedy Andy knew what was going on, for they were thinking real hard to themselves. Nor did they drink the tea when it was poured for them. Marcella drank it instead. Perhaps this was just as well, for most of the dolls were moist inside from the tea of the day before. Sugar and water, if taken in small quantities, would not give the dolls colic, Marcella would tell them. But she did not know that it made their cotton or sawdust insides quite sticky. Quite often, too, Marcella forgot to wash their faces after a tea, and Fido would do it for them when he came into the nursery and found the dolls with sweets upon their faces. Really, Fido was quite a help in this way, but he often missed the corners of their eyes and the backs of their necks where the tea would run and get sticky. But he did his best and saved his little mistress a lot of work. No, Raggedy Andy did not speak, but he thought a great deal. One can, you know, when one has been a rag doll as long as Raggedy Andy had. Years and years and years and years. Even Raggedy Ann, with all her wisdom, did not really know how long Raggedy Andy and she had been rag dolls. If Raggedy Ann had a pencil in her rag hand and Marcella guided it for her, she could count up to 10. Sometimes. But why should one worry one's rag head about age when all one's life has been one happy experience after another, with each day filled with love and sunshine? Raggedy Andy did not know his age, but he remembered many things that had happened years and years and years ago when he and Raggedy Ann were quite young. It was of these pleasant times Raggedy Andy was thinking all day, and this was the reason he did not notice that Marcella was speaking for him. Raggedy Andy had to wait patiently for Marcella to put all the dollies to bed and leave them alone in the nursery for the night. The day might have passed very slowly had it not been for the happy memories that filled Raggedy Andy's cotton-stuffed head. But he did not even fidget. Of course, he fell out of his chair once, and his shoe button eyes went click against the floor. But it wasn't his fault. Raggedy Andy was so floppy he could hardly be placed in a chair so that he would stay, especially when Marcella jiggled the table. Marcella cried, "Wah, wah," for Raggedy Andy, and picked him up and snuggled him. Then she scolded Uncle Clem for jiggling the table. Through all this, Raggedy Andy kept right on thinking his pleasant thoughts and really did not realize he had fallen from the chair. You see how easy it is to pass over the little bumps of life if we are all happy inside. And so Raggedy Andy was quiet all day, and the day finally passed. Raggedy Andy was given one of Uncle Clem's clean white nighties and shared Uncle Clem's bed. Marcella kissed them all goodnight and left the room to sleep until morning. But as soon as she left the room, all the dolls raised up in their beds. When their little mistress's footsteps passed out of hearing, all of the dollies jumped out of their beds and gathered around Raggedy Andy. Raggedy Ann introduced them one by one, and Raggedy Andy shook hands with each. "I am very happy to know you all," he said in a voice as kindly as Raggedy Ann's, "and I hope we will all like each other as much as Raggedy Ann and I have always liked each other." "Oh, indeed we shall," the dollies all answered. "We love Raggedy Ann because she is so kindly and happy, and we know we shall like you too, for you talk like Raggedy Ann and have the same cheery smile." "Now that we know each other so well, what do you say to a game, Uncle Clem?" Raggedy Andy cried as he caught Uncle Clem and danced about the floor. Henry, the Dutch doll, dragged the little square music box out into the center of the room and wound it up. Then all catching hands danced in a circle around it, laughing and shouting in their tiny doll voices. "That was lots of fun," Raggedy Andy said when the music stopped and all the dolls had taken seats upon the floor facing him. "You know, I have been shut in a trunk up in an attic for years and years and years." "Wasn't it very lonesome in the trunk all that time?" Susan asked in her strange little cracked voice. "Oh, not at all," Raggedy Andy replied, "for there was always a nest of mice down in the corner of the trunk. Cute little mama and daddy mice and lots of little teeny weeny baby mice. And when the mama and daddy mice were away, I used to cuddle the teeny little baby mice." "No wonder you were never lonesome," said Uncle Clem, who was very kind and loved everybody and everything. "No, I was never lonesome in the old trunk in the attic, but it is far more pleasant to be out again and living here with all of you nice friends," said Raggedy Andy. And all the dolls thought so too, for already they loved Raggedy Andy's happy smile and knew he would prove to be as kindly and lovable as Raggedy Ann. Raggedy Ann learns a lesson. One day the dolls were left all to themselves. Their little mistress had placed them all around the room and told them to be nice children while she was away. And there they sat and never even so much as wiggled a finger until Marcella had left the room. Then the tin soldier doll turned his head and solemnly winked at Raggedy Ann. And when the front gate clicked and the dollies knew they were alone in the house, they all scrambled to their feet. "Now, let's have a good time," cried the tin soldier. "Let's all go in search of something to eat." "Yes, let's all go in search of something to eat," cried Henry the Dutch doll. "When mistress had me out playing with her this morning," said Raggedy Ann, "she carried me by a door near the back of the house, and I smelled something that smelled as if it would taste delicious." "Then you lead the way, Raggedy Ann," cried the French doll. I think it would be a good plan to elect Raggedy Ann as our leader on this expedition, said the Tin Soldier. At this, all the other dolls clapped their hands together and shouted, Hurrah! Raggedy Ann will be our leader! So Raggedy Ann, very proud indeed to have the confidence and love of all the other dollies, said that she would be very glad to be their leader. Follow me, she cried, as her wobbly legs carried her across the floor at a lively pace. The other dollies followed, racing about the house until they came to the pantry door. This is the place, cried Raggedy Ann, and sure enough, all the dollies smelled something that they knew must be very good to eat. But none of the dollies was tall enough to open the door, and although they pushed and pulled with all their might, the door remained tightly closed. The dollies were talking and pulling and pushing, and every once in a while one would fall over, and the others would step on him or her in their efforts to open the door. Finally, Raggedy Ann drew away from the others and sat down on the floor. When the other dollies discovered Raggedy Ann sitting there running her rag hands through her yarn hair, they knew she was thinking. Shh, shh, they said to each other, and quietly went over near Raggedy Ann and sat down in front of her. There must be a way to get inside, said Raggedy Ann. Raggedy Ann says there must be a way to get inside, cried all the dolls. I can't seem to think clearly today, Raggedy Ann explained. It feels as if my head were ripped. At this, the French doll ran to Raggedy Ann and took off her bonnet. Yes, there is a rip in your head, Raggedy, she said, and pulled a pin from her skirt and pinned up Raggedy's head. It's not a very neat job, for I got some puckers in it, she said. Oh, that is ever so much better, cried Raggedy Ann. Now I can think quite clearly. My thoughts must have leaked out the rip before. Now that I can think so clearly, said Raggedy Ann, I think the door must be locked, and to get in we must unlock it. That will be easy, said the Dutch doll, who says, Mama, when he is tipped backward and forward. For we will have the brave tin soldier shoot the key out of the lock. I can easily do that, cried the tin soldier as he raised his gun. Oh, Raggedy Ann, cried the French dolly, please do not let him shoot. No, said Raggedy Ann, we must think of a quieter way. After thinking quite hard for a moment, Raggedy Ann jumping up and said, I have it. And she caught up the jumping jack and held him up to the door. Then Jack slid up his stick and unlocked the door. Then the dollies all pushed and the door swung open. My, such a scramble! The dolls piled over one another in their desire to be the first at the goodies. They swarmed upon the pantry shelves and in their eagerness spilled a pitcher of cream which ran all over the French dolly's dress. The Dutch doll found some cornbread, and dipping it in the molasses, he sat down for a good feast. A jar of raspberry jam was overturned, and the dollies ate of this until their faces were all purple. The tin soldier fell from the shelf 3 times and bent one of his tin legs, but he scrambled right back up again. Never had the dolls had so much fun and excitement, and they had all eaten their fill when they heard the click of the front gate. They did not take time to climb from the shelves, but all rolled or jumped off to the floor and scrambled back to the nursery as fast as they could run, leaving a trail of breadcrumbs and jam along the way. Just as their mistress came into the room, the dolls all dropped in whatever positions they happened to be in. This is funny, cried Mistress. They were all left sitting in their places around the room. I wonder if Fido has been in shaking them up. Then she saw Raggedy Ann's face and picked her up. Why, Raggedy Ann, you are all sticky. I do believe you are covered with jam. And Mistress tasted Raggedy Ann's hand. Yes, it is jam. Shame on you, Raggedy Ann. You've been in the pantry and all the other dollies, too. And with this, the doll's mistress dropped Raggedy Ann on the floor and left the room. When she came back, she had on an apron, and her sleeves were all rolled up. She picked up all the sticky dolls and, putting them in a basket, carried them out under the apple tree in the garden. There she had placed her little tub and wringer, and she took the dolls one at a time and scrubbed them with a scrubbing brush and soused them up and down and this way and that in the soap suds until they were clean. Then she hung them all out onto the clothesline in the sunshine to dry. There the dolls hung all day, swinging and twisting about in the breeze. I do believe she scrubbed my face so hard that she wore off my smile, said Raggedy Ann after an hour of silence. No, it is still there, said the tin soldier as the wind twisted him around so he could see Raggedy. But I do believe my arms will never work without squeaking. They feel so rusted, he added. Late in the afternoon, the back door opened, and the little mistress came out with a table and chairs. After setting the table, she took all the dolls from the line and placed them about the table. They had lemonade with grape jelly in it, which made it a beautiful lavender color, and little baby teeny-weeny cookies with powdered sugar on them. After this lovely dinner, the dollies were taken in the house, where they had their hair brushed and nice clean nighties put on. Then they were placed in their beds, and Mistress kissed each one good night and tiptoed from the room. All the dolls lay as still as mice for a few minutes. Then Raggedy Ann raised up on her cotton-stuffed elbows and said, I have been thinking our mistress gave us the nice dinner out under the trees to teach us a lesson. She wished us to know that we could have had all the goodies we wished, whenever we wished, if we had behaved ourselves. And our lesson was that we must never take without asking what we could always have for the asking. So let us remember and try never again to do anything that might cause those who love us any unhappiness. Let us all remember, chimed all the other dollies. And Raggedy Ann, with her merry twinkle in her shoe button eye, lay back in her little bed, her cotton head filled with thoughts of love and happiness.
Thank you for listening to Reading the Classics on KRBD Ketchikan. Pigtail by Lewis Carroll. There was a pig that sat alone beside a ruined pump. By day and night he made his moan. It would have stirred a heart of stone to see him wring his hooves and groan because he could not jump. A certain camel heard him shout, a camel with a hump. Oh, is it grief or is it gout? What is this bellowing about? That pig replied with quivering snout, because I cannot jump. That camel scanned him, dreamy-eyed. Methinks you are too plump. I never knew a pig so wide, that wobbled so from side to side, who could, however much he tried, do such a thing as jump. Yet mark those trees 2 miles away, all clustered in a clump. If you could trot there twice a day, nor ever pause for rest or play, in the far future, who can say, you may be fit to jump. That camel passed and left him there, beside the ruined pump. Oh, horrid was that pig's despair. His shrieks of anguish filled the air. He wrung his hooves, he rent his hair, because he could not jump. There was a frog that wandered by, a sleek and shining lump. Inspected him with fishy eye, and said, Oh, pig, what makes you cry? And bitter was that pig's reply, Because I cannot jump. That frog, he grinned a grin of glee, and hit his chest a thump. Oh, pig, he said, be ruled by me, and you shall see what you shall see. This minute, for a trifling fee, I'll teach you how to jump. You may be faint from many a fall and bruised by many a bump. But if you persevere through all and practice first on something small, concluding with a 10-foot wall, you'll find that you can jump. That pig looked up with joyful start. Oh, frog, you are a thump. Your words have healed my inward smart. Come, name your fee and do your part. Bring comfort to a broken heart by teaching me to jump. My fee shall be a mutton chop. My goal this ruined pump. Observe with what an airy flop I plant myself upon the top. Now bend your knees and take a hop, for that's the way to jump. Up rose that pig and rushed full whack against the ruined pump. Rolled over like an empty sack and settled down upon his back, while all his bones at once went crack. It was a fatal jump. That camel passed as day grew dim around the ruined pump. Oh, broken heart, oh, broken limb, it needs, that camel said to him, something more fairy-like and slim to execute a jump. That pig lay still as any stone and could not stir a stump, nor ever, if the truth were known, was he again observed to moan, nor ever wring his hooves and groan, because he could not jump. That frog made no remark, for he was dismal as a dump. He knew the consequence must be that he would never get his fee, and still he sits in misery upon that ruined pump.